It's a Tuesday with no primaries, but plenty of politics. Another strand snaps in the fabric of European unity. While Belgian police arrest members of the ISIS cell that attacked Paris and Brussels, well, those are just some of the stories on the mind of news analyst Neil Conan this morning. He joins us now, as he does most Tuesdays, from his Macnut farm on the Big Island. Good morning, and may I say it was really nice to see you here live in our studios in Honolulu last week for the Fun Drive.
Oh, it was great, Beth Ann. It's always fun, but especially this spring when the support from listeners has just been so great.
Well, we're going to get back to that in just a couple of minutes, but for the moment, since we last spoke, there have been more problems for the front runners in the presidential nomination process, and maybe especially for Donald Trump, right?
Oh, very especially for Donald Trump. He got thumped by Ted Cruz in Wisconsin last week and then swept by Cruz in Colorado this past weekend. And it's interesting, for very different reasons. In Colorado and South Carolina, a few other places as well, Trump's organization, such as it is, has fumbled away opportunities to pick up delegates. The rules for the caucus in Colorado, for example, you know, they're a little complicated, but, you know, it's not like they were secrets. It's just that Ted Cruz paid attention to details and Trump didn't. Cruz picked up 34 delegates and Trump has been left, spluttering about, the game is rigged.
Now, while we're talking about some attention to detail, we learned that two of Trump's children neglected to change their party's registration, so now they're ineligible to vote for their dad in New York next week.
That's right. One hesitates to talk about the sins of the father, but yes, exactly that kind of, pesky detail. In Colorado, Trump supporters passed out leaflets, boosting a slate of Trump candidates, most of whom were not actually on the ballot. And then when this turns into a debacle, the campaign became, alternately whiny and then menacing. Somehow the state chairman's cell phone number got out on the Internet. He's, of course, been deluged with calls, something like 2,000 calls a day. And this comes after a campaign spokesman threatened to give out the hotel room numbers of any Republican convention delegates who have the effrontery to oppose Donald Trump at the national convention in Cleveland.
And now it's looking more and more likely that we're going to see that contested convention there in Cleveland.
Yes, it does, which also has to do with the reason for Trump's loss in Wisconsin. It's beginning to look like he may have a ceiling. He claimed that, his percentage of the vote would rise as the field of Republican candidates got smaller. That sure did not happen in Wisconsin. And while there's reason to believe that a good part of the surge for Ted Cruz was an anti-Trump surge. Maybe the huge volume of anti-Trump ads began to take a toll. Maybe the ugliness of his rallies and the underlying racism drove some voters into opposition. Certainly the way he mocks women. Maybe the self-inflicted wounds of missteps on policies like abortion, for example. His negatives get so high that in a 2- or 3-man race, suddenly 35% is not going to be enough.
But the polls are showing him way over that in New York and in some of the other northeastern states that come up a week after next.
Well, you're right, over 50% in New York, even without his two children. And then Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, Delaware, the rest of April should be a good month for Donald Trump. But he may come up short on the number of delegates he needs for a first ballot win. It's going to come down eventually to California. And then maybe the prospect of the chaos he promises in Cleveland if he's denied the nomination. Because, if he does not win on the first ballot, it sure begins to look like he's going to get fewer and fewer votes on every subsequent ballot.
This makes me keep thinking that we keep saying this, but the Democrats are looking positively polite by comparison, even as we've seen the race get a bit edgier.
Yep. We saw Bernie Sanders overreact to an interview where Hillary Clinton pointedly refused to say that he was unqualified to be president. She then attacked him on his less than sure-handed meeting with the editorial board of the New York Daily News. He's come back on her on fracking. She's come back on him on guns. There's a debate coming up, and for once, it's possible the upcoming Democratic debate might have some fireworks.
And Sanders really has some momentum. I mean, after Wisconsin and Wyoming, 7 out of the last 8 states that he's won.
Yes, indeed. Yes, but a solid win in Wisconsin, but which did not net him enough delegates to begin eating into that big Clinton lead. Yes, he won the Wyoming caucus, but the delegates split 7-7. So, all right, win Either wins, and even a narrow win in New York would be important for Bernie Sanders. That's the state that elected Hillary Clinton to the U.S. Senate twice. He always says, you know, he always describes it as her adopted state, as if somehow his relationship with Vermont is somehow different. But anyway, he trails in New York by double digits a week out. It's Democrats only in the New York primary. Independents cannot vote. And I think the rest of April also looks pretty good for Hillary Clinton.
Okay, let's switch gears for a second. I wanted to ask you about another election, a referendum that did not get a lot of attention in the Netherlands, where people voted down a proposal that was seen as an up or down vote on the EU itself.
I guess the actual issue was about whether to accept Ukraine's economic agreement with the EU. All the other members of the EU had accepted that. The anti-EU forces in the Netherlands forced a referendum on it. This was not about membership for Ukraine. That's a long, long way from that, but about closer ties to Europe. But it did absolutely become a referendum on the EU itself, and the Euroskeptics won. Turnout in this election was very low, just over 30%, so maybe an actual up or down vote on Europe would have turned out differently, but the vote was almost 2-1 against. Now, the right in the Netherlands has hailed this as the beginning of the end for the EU, and that's with the British vote on membership in the EU in June as the next nail in the coffin. In other words, this was a symbolic vote in the Netherlands. The British vote is about actually leaving the EU or staying in. Now, polls show that British referendum could be close, but polls in Britain have been unreliable of late.
We got to go, but I got to ask you that, you know, it turns out another place in Europe, as we're talking about it, that the ISIS attacks in Brussels, the suicide bombs at the airport, the subway station, the bombers planned to attack in Paris, but improvised when police arrested members of the cell.
Yes, and there's a couple of scary things about that. They did an awful lot of damage for, you know, an improvised attack. They killed dozens of people. The airport in Brussels has just begun to reopen. And it's hard to have confidence that the Belgian police have rolled up all the members of this cell. They've proved to be very ineffective. And, of course, we don't know if there are other cells still out there.
Well, for the moment, Neil, we got to leave it there because we got some business to do over here. But we will talk to you soon. Have a good
week. Make some money for the station, Beth Ann.
We'll give it our best. News analyst Neil Conan joins us most Tuesdays from the farm. You can also hear his Pacific News Minutes right here on Hawaii Public Radio. Thank you.